Very good morning to everyone. So good to be here. So lovely to be together. We're here to meet, to encourage one another as we look to worship God, as we look to worship our Heavenly Father. So a very warm welcome to you as we do that together. A very warm welcome to our visitors this morning. So good to have you. We'll hopefully get to know you a bit better. After the service, you're very welcome to stay on for tea and coffee. This one. Hello. I'll stand here. So we look forward to that after the service. Ken is leading us this morning. Thank you very much, Ken. A sermon entitled, "In the World, But Not of the World, Remember Whose You Are." And then we're in Glenelg this evening at 6 o'clock, following on in the services from Smithton Free Church. I'm just watching their sermon series on adoration and dedication. And we've got a prayer meeting after that in the evening. So if you can make it over to that, amazing. If not, and you would like us to be praying for something as a church, do let Ken or Colin or myself or anyone else who goes over to the Glenelg service know. And we would love to pray for you for that. A couple of things to highlight. The Wednesday evening Bible studies are both back on. So we're in Glenelg in Peter and Moira Lane's house, and in Dorney in Vivian and Colin McKenzie's home at 7:30. A plea on behalf of everyone at Altna Creek: if you're going, amazing. If not, and you have some time to do some baking this week, it would go down very well. Altna Creek, the youth weekend away, is happening next weekend. So if you give that to Mum, let Mum know that you're going to do some baking, and Fiona. let Mum know that you're going to do some baking and give it to her before Friday, before Thursday, maybe.
Before Friday midday.
Friday midday, it's leaving. So please, if you have time to do some baking, it would be very well received. There's the Healthy Church Gathering that's coming up reasonably soon, a couple of weeks away. But you do have to book on to do that. I think it's going to be really good, but you do have to book for that, so you can do that online. That's in Kyle on Wednesday the 27th of September. I think that's everything. I'll hand over to Ken.
Thank you, Philly. I'm hot on my heels from Kyle, where the microphone didn't work there either. One of the things about being a Christian, about having a living faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, about having the Holy Spirit live within you, is that you are a possessor of eternal life in a very mortal world. And you've seen something of the life to come. You've been deposited, if you like, a dollop of eternal life. And this place is no longer your home. And we are longing for another place. We're longing to see the face of God. And there's a yearning and a longing that there is no satisfaction in this world, is there? The Rolling Stones sang, "I can't get no satisfaction." And the saddest line in that song is, "But I try, but I try, but I try." There's no satisfaction. It's in God. And we know that in part in the fallen world, but in a fallen world, we are longing for the eternal. We're longing to see the day when we will see him face to face. And our first item of worship today, we're going to sing from Psalm 42 in the Sing Psalms. "As the deer pants, as pants the deer for flowing streams, so longs my soul, O God, for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I meet with God anew?" Something we share as believers, as followers of Christ, is that longing for him and that longing for the day when we will see him. And the psalmist is longing more because of his circumstances and the hatred and the vehemence that's set against him. And maybe you know something of that in your own life, that the trouble and strife that you go through increases that sense of longing for the day when you will be with him forever. Longing for God. So let's sing. We're going to sing, what verses is it? Verses 1 to 7 of Psalm 42, which you can find on page 53 of the Blue Book. Do stand and let's sing these words together. Let's join together in a time of prayer together to Almighty God. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can be here today, that we can gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in safety and out of a desire to worship you communally together, to sit under your word, to be instructed, to be encouraged, to have opportunity to confess our sins and trust once again to increase in our faith as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look to you, Heavenly Father. But we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit amongst us as we worship. We pray that as we sing the words of the Psalms, they would resonate deep within us and be food for our souls. That as we meditate on your word, faith may increase in us. And that sense of wonder and awe, and that sense of longing, Lord, to know you, to be with you, knowing that one day these things will happen. And Lord, we marvel and worship in our hearts. We kneel at your feet and we look to you for all things. We thank you, O Lord, for all your provision for us. We think of the bounty that we enjoy. So often our lives are full of moaning and grumbling, complaining, and we think of politics and the state of the world. But Lord, we enjoy so many good things. We give you thanks and praise for them, for love, for family, for friends, for this congregation here, and the love you have put in our hearts for you and for each other. We thank you most of all for the gospel, for the truth of your love for us, that you sent your only Son. Thank you for the cross. And Lord, we take this time now to confess our sins to you. Forgive us for those thoughts and words and deeds and feelings that have gone against your command and your will. Forgive us and cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross. Sanctify us, O Lord, we pray. Have mercy on your church. Bless this gathering here now, and bless all who gather in the name of the Lord Jesus up and down this land. Bless your church. Increase your church. We pray for your mercy on the people of Morocco who are affected by the earthquake, with the death toll now over 2,000. And Lord, we pray for those who are displaced, who are homeless, who are injured, for those who are bereaved. And Lord, for any who are still trapped in rubble, we pray for rescue. But Lord, if any are unable to be rescued and are still alive, before they perish, Lord, would you have mercy on them and visit them personally and supernaturally, that even as the thief on the cross turned to you in his dying moments, that you might have mercy on those who are perishing, we pray. Lord, we praise you because you are a gracious and merciful God. It is your nature to be merciful. Lord, we pray for the ongoing troubles in Ukraine with the war there. We pray for the support of the world and the nations of the world. And Lord, that you would draw back the aggressor, Lord, that you would see a way. Lord, you know all things. You know history, the end from the beginning. But we are just here, and we pray now for peace in Ukraine, that you would break the arm of the aggressor. And Lord, that you might turn people's hearts to you, and that it might be you who is glorified in all the earth. We praise you that that is one day going to come for sure. We pray for it now. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That was a good loud amen. Well done. We're going to sing once more from a well-known psalm, Psalm 139, in the Sing Psalms, version A, on page 180. Psalm 139, page 180, first six verses. O Lord, you have examined me. You know me through and through. My sitting, rising, all my thoughts afar are known to you. God knows everything about us, all the time. He knows us better than we know us. That's an amazing thing. So let's stand and sing these verses 1-6. Let's read from the Bible and the Gospel of John and chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm going to read from verse 6 to verse 19. And we're picking up in the middle of a very special prayer that Jesus prays to the Father in heaven the night before he's going to go to the cross. And he's praying for us, for his followers then, but for his followers now too. So this is holy ground. If you like, we're like Moses, we should take off our shoes because we're invited into something very holy, very personal, very precious, as we can read the words that Jesus prayed to the Father before going to the cross. And he's praying for us. Verse 6, I have revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you gave me or have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. By the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost, except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word to us. Now, I've got a word for the boys and girls. Do you want to come and sit on the floor at the front? We come and sit down here, shall we? And I've got something for you today, and it's, do you know what a poem is? What would you say a poem is? What's a poem? Something people read, isn't it? I think a poem is when every line starts with a capital letter, something like that. But there's a poem that I read today, and it's by a man who was a missionary. So he went off to other countries all around the world to tell people about Jesus, and he wanted to give his whole life to doing things in service of God. And I can't remember the whole poem because it's too long, but there's two lines from the poem, and I'll get you to say them in a minute too, so listen carefully. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. We try and say that together. So maybe one or two of the grown-ups can help us say it too. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. So what he was saying was, we only live once. You know, you're young and you think I've got years and years. I still feel young, but look, I've got a grey beard. I'm getting old. So one day we're going to die. And we only get one life here on earth. So what he's saying is what you do is important. Some things last forever because you do them for Christ. You do them for God. You do them for Jesus. Other things are selfish things or nasty things or just dull, boring things that don't have a purpose. They don't give any glory to God. And he's saying they don't last. It reminded me of a verse in the Bible where the Apostle Paul was writing to a church and he says, there's only one foundation. Do you know what a foundation is? Like a base, a solid rock or concrete. There's only one foundation can be laid, and that's Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to come to Jesus and say sorry for your sins, to come into his family, to know God. It's the foundation. It's essential. And then he talks about our lives as building on the foundation. So to be a Christian, to go to heaven, all of that, you have to have the foundation of coming to Jesus. And he says you can build with gold, that's nice, isn't it? Gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. So there's gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. He's talking about what you do in your life. It's like building. You're building a life. You're building, doing things, accomplishing things. Some things are like gold, silver, and precious stones. That's rich stuff. Some things are like wood, hay, and straw. And then he says, at the end of your life, when you go to meet God, it's like a judgment day, which is like, it'll be a testing day of, he says, it's like a fire. Not that we're going to get burned, but the gold, silver, and precious stones are going to go through a fire. Do you think they'll be all right? Yeah. I think they will. The gold, silver, and precious stones, if you make a little fire and you put a gold ring in there, if it's not too hot, the fire goes out, you take the gold ring out, give it a clean up, fine. The precious stones, they'll probably be okay. Silver, same. What about wood, hay, and straw? If wood, hay, and straw won't last, will it? But do you see what he's saying? He's saying some things you do in your life are like gold, silver, and precious stones, and they're precious and they will last.
in the end, they last forever. Some things are like wood, hay and straw when you're a bit selfish or just not doing things to give God glory. And they will go into the fire and they're just going to get burned up and gone.
If you put fire inside your house, your house will just disappear.
Yeah, unless your house was built of gold, silver and precious stones maybe. But do you see? Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So what we do in this, the main thing is to have Jesus as your foundation and believe and trust in Jesus. But what we do, if we think, can I do something, say something, pray something that is for Jesus, it will last like gold, silver, precious stones. Don't want to live my whole life and I've wasted it and just get into heaven, sneak in the back door. Because all of my things I spent my time doing have got burned up. So do you think we can say that thing again? I'll say it once and then we'll say it together. Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Shall we all say it together? Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You've got the fingers right and everything. Shall we say a prayer for you before you go to Sunday school? Heavenly Father, thank you for the boys and girls here today and for those who are not here today too. And we pray your blessing on them. We pray you will help them to know for a certainty that they have that foundation of Jesus Christ at the heart of their life. And Lord, help us each to learn the wisdom of God to build our lives on things by doing things, saying things, praying things that will last forever and bring much glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right, oh, Sunday school time. You want to start turning up Psalm 90 on page 120. Psalm 90 on page 120 of the Blue Book. Psalm 90 is, I think I'm right in saying, the oldest psalm in the whole of the Psalter. It's written by Moses, the man of God. And it's... The Psalms actually last over 1,000 years, from the earliest ones written to the latest ones written. It covers a period of over 1,000 years, and this is one of the oldest. And there's some deep truths, some difficult things, but it's powerful. We're going to sing just a short section from verse 11 to verse 17. The power of your anger, who can know? Your wrath's as great as the fear we owe. Teach us to number our days aright. So will our hearts be filled with wisdom's light. Let's stand and sing these wonderful words together.
Teach us to know.
Let's bow our heads in prayer once more as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the scriptures. We thank you for what a precious thing it is to have the Bible in our own language and to see you on the pages of scripture, to see the face of Christ, to engage with the eternal, with the immortal, with the divine. What a precious thing this is. Please help us as we look to your word now to speak to our hearts, to have ears to hear and hearts to respond. Lord, have mercy on us and give us your help, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What does it mean? What does it really mean to be a Christian believer? What difference does it make to us from maybe what we were before, or from our neighbours, or from people at work who don't believe? Well, how are we different? How do people perceive that we're different? Are we pretty much just the same as the guy next to us at work, but a bit religious? What do people say of us? Do they, oh, that Ken MacDonald, he's all right. He's just a bit religious. He goes to church on Sunday. Otherwise, he's just the same as everyone else. Is it better to be a sort of super holy Joe in a monastery on the top of a mountain in a desert 100 miles from anyone else, but so close to God and so holy in your lifestyle that uncorrupted by the world around you? Is it better to be like that, or to be a kind of worldly Wally Christian who swears at work, who loves the world's entertainment, however gratuitous, however vulgar, who joins in with juicy gossip, dirty jokes? Which is better, to be that guy or to be that guy? One's the message with no audience, and the other's got the audience but has lost all credibility to have any message. In John 17 here we have Jesus' prayer to his heavenly Father, praying for us, for his followers, for them then and us now. And we see here two main things we're going to be looking at today, quite simply. One, that we are called out from the world. And two, that we are sent back into the world. That's not the reversal of the same thing. We're called out from the people of the world and sent in as the people of God, if you like. We're not to be holy hideaways in a monastery. We're not to be worldly wallies. We're to come out and be separate, holy, sanctified, belonging to God, looking up, but sent in to witness, to testify, to proclaim the gospel of God's love for the world who so desperately needs to hear the good news. We're set apart and we're sent in. Firstly then, the set apart, being called out. Verse 6, I have revealed you to those you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. For those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has and he is revealing God the Father to us. We know and see God the Father as we look to the Son. John's Gospel begins like this. If you know chapter 1 and verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. You can't see God the Father, but Jesus Christ, the God the Son, reveals God the Father to us. And the Father himself, says here, has given us as a present to Jesus. Taken us out of the world and given us as a gift to Jesus. So you, if you're a believer, are out of this world. It's an expression, isn't it, we say. You're out of this world. We are a gift from God the Father to God the Son. And the process by which we become the Father's and then become the gift of God the Father to God the Son, it says here in verse 6, it's through obeying God's word, obeying the instruction of the gospel to repent and believe. And if you're a believer, it's a good test here, isn't it? If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you will love God's word. The believer obeys God's word. And the believer loves to obey God's word. Now we mess up, don't we? Paul says in the book of Romans, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. That's wonderful, isn't it? To concur with that. Sometimes you read in the Bible, you think, in my inner being, self-evidently, this is. It concurs with my very guts, my heart, my soul. In my inner being, I delight in God's law. But he goes on to say, I see another law at work in the members of my flesh. In the same chapter of Romans, he says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. But it is by his word, by the spiritual, the word of God, and by my obedience to it that I become spiritual. Even in the sense of understanding what the gospel is and responding in repentance and faith. And friends, we put ourselves in the way of God by being much in the word of God, in the Bible. You come close to God, you meet with God as you respond and meditate on his words. Maybe time to just stop and think, how could I put myself in the way of God more? We've all got different devices now, phones. My youngest son left his headphones in the car when I dropped him off in Aberdeen yesterday. Any chance you could pop back with my headphones? No. But they're tiny. He pops them in his ears, there's no wires, he's got something on his phone. He listens to music probably most of the time, but you could listen to the Bible, to the Gospels, whilst you're in the gym, or going for a walk, or doing the dishes. Are there ways in which I could get the Bible into me more, to spend a bit more time maybe just reading the Scriptures? Looking for the face of Jesus on every page. It is my obedience to his word. By obedience to his word that we become the Father's gift to the Son. Called out of the world by God the Father and given to the Son. There's some great verses in the Bible about just delighting in the Scriptures. In the men's breakfast on Saturdays, we go through the Bible and go through the Psalms, and we get to Psalm 119 and split it into the 20. That's a long, long one, isn't it, if you know the Psalms? And Psalm 119 is 22 Psalms, in a way, all about delighting in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, in the truth, just the love of God's Word. Jeremiah says this, thy word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 119, one verse says, I rejoiced at thy word as one that finds great spoil. One of the first steps back for a backsliding believer is the neglect of the word of God. We let our daily Bible reading go. We miss a few Sundays. The word's not alighting on my soul anymore. I'm not feeding. I'm becoming spiritually malnourished. If I notice that my Bible reading is depreciating, I should be concerned. D.L. Moody wrote this in his Bible, in the front cover of his Bible. He wrote, "This book will keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from this book." We are called out from the world as we obey his word. Verse 7, Jesus prays, "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you." And in verse 8, "They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." We are called out. Out of doubt, out of confusion in the world, a world of many confusing and conflicting views and religions, politics, differing philosophies, latest ideas, and face it, guys, the rampage of shifting tides of what you're allowed to say and now you're not allowed to say. But we all used to say, you can't say that now. How fast are these things changing? Who can keep up? It's such a shifting quicksand. We're saved out of that to a certain knowing, a certain knowledge of the one true God who never changes. Yesterday, today, the same forever. Jesus is the foundation. No other foundation can be laid. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. We are called out of the world to him, to Jesus. We are called out to a sure and certain faith in God, called out by God himself to something rock solid, certain, and eternal forever. Isn't that great? Isn't that good to know the solidity of that? And the wonders go on. Verse 9, "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours." We are called out as God's own possession. We are his. We belong to him. As such, Jesus specifically prays for us. And here we've got it in black and white in the scriptures. He did, there and then, specifically pray for us. And I stopped at verse 19, but if you think, well, maybe it was just for them then, look at verse 20 if you've still got your Bible open. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message." Now, if you believe here in the 21st century in Scotland, that's you. That's me. He's praying for us. We are called out as God's own possession. And he prays for us. But not only did he pray for us then, he continually prays for us in the present tense now. Hebrews 7 tells us that he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to intercede for them. Romans 8, "Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Did you know? I'm sure you've heard that before. But have you stopped and thought about that? That Jesus Christ, your beloved Savior, if you believe and trust in him, is at the right hand of God praying for you without ceasing. Continually, right now, even as we consider these words, Jesus is praying for us. And we are called out from the world, and he prays for us. Verse 17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify means to be made holy, and holy basically means to be set apart from the world for God. Jesus prays for us that we might be more and more set apart as we worship him in his word, as his word grows within us. Our being set apart for God becomes more distinct, clearer, even to those around us. We are set apart for God, called out of the world to belong to God, and then given to Jesus. We're out of this world. We are his. We are strangers. We are aliens. We are not of this world. We are the called out ones. But secondly, we are sent in. That's not just a reversal of being called out and undoing it. Something quite dramatic on top of it. We remain in the world. Verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, says Jesus, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So, heads up, we're still in the world. Obviously, look around, pinch yourself, maybe take your pulse, some of you. You're here. We're still in the world, but we are protected by the name of Almighty God, El Shaddai, God the Lord, the Mighty One. We are precious children under divine protection of our Almighty Father, albeit in a sense behind enemy lines. Part of our purpose as called out ones who are sent back in ones is to be one. Even as the Father and the Son are one, to be united with everyone else who loves the Lord, to be part of one family on earth. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, that you love one another, so that they may be one as we are one. It's sad, isn't it? Why is the church so divided, so fractious? Why are there so many different denominations? Should we be praying, Father, forgive us for all our denominations? One wee boy in the church was a church where they had visiting preachers from different denominations come and visit. And one wee boy went up to the minister at the end, who was visiting that week, and said, so which church abomination do you come from? Jesus prayed that we may be one, as he is one with the Father. And we're either for him or we're against him. He says, didn't he? He who is not for me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. It's not passive, is it? If we're not actively for him, we are actively against him. Huge harm is done to gospel witness when Christians divide and fight and argue, and when churches split. And some people have abandoned the church and think they're better off believers not going to church at all. And it's dangerous. We need each other. We need the encouragement. We need this communal worship together and the encouragement of brothers and sisters in a family. You think of a pack of gazelles running through the wilderness, and the lion's looking to kill one. It's the straggler, isn't it, that gets killed? One that gets broken away from the pack. We are part of God's family, Christ's body. Members of a body are not removed from the body. Doesn't go well for them, does it? Jesus prayed that we might be one. And a large part of our witness to the world of the love of God and of Christ is how we love one another. Oh, that we might be one. In verse 14, the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Here's one of the huge tensions in living the Christian life. We are here now, but we belong in another place. We're still called to be here. There's a mission, there's a purpose for a while. But maybe sometimes folks around us who don't get it yet see how we're more bothered about the other place and talking about God whom they don't know. And we're more concerned about the other place maybe than here sometimes. And they may despise us for it. They may hate us for it. They're banging on about the other place. It riles them. It ruffles their feathers. It irritates, aggravates. It can be annoying, disrupting, rocking the boat. And they don't like it. They might not like us. So you can declare your love for many things. You can get a hat, can't you? A baseball cap with I heart NY, New York. I love New York. It's not really going to offend anyone. Maybe some Arabic countries you might get a ribbon for it. But most things, you could have a t-shirt with I love, I heart, anything. And you're probably pretty much okay to walk around in most places. You probably wouldn't go to Rangers Football Club with an I love Celtic on, would you? But by and large, you're safe, aren't you? But if you put I love Jesus on your t-shirt, how would you feel about that? Walking about in Kyle or Inverness. How would you feel about where? If I had a box of them, I was giving them out and asking you to wear it all week. How would you feel? How would your family feel? How would your people you work with or people you rub up against in the week feel? What reactions would you get? If you took your Bible into the pub, try to tell people about how much you love Jesus and that you're going to heaven and you belong to another place, how's that going to go for you? You can feel the cringe, can't you, just saying the words. But I'm trying to make the point that the world gets irritated and you can feel hostility and hate. And in case the whole thing of being called out and sent back in isn't clear enough, look with me at verse 15. My prayer is that you take them, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So Jesus specifically states that he does not ask for us to leave the world yet, but that we be protected from the evil one, the devil. The devil is sometimes called the god of this world or the god of the air. He's a manipulator, a tempter, an accuser, particularly of those under his power. But if he were permitted, if he were allowed, he would see us off. He would run us out of town. He would devour us. He would ruin us. He'd make us give up. He'd make us turn to the dark side. But Christ Jesus prayed and still prays, intercedes continually for our divine protection. How many times has God saved you from an attack of the evil one, even today? And here's the thing with that. You may be aware of sometimes where you've been in great danger and maybe you've prayed and you've been saved. Maybe you're on the road and someone's on the wrong side of the road as we get in tourist season and you don't know how you avoided that car. Or someone's pulled out on you, or someone's got it in for you, or you've been threatened, or you've been sick. And you know God has delivered you through a time of great trouble. But how many myriad more times have we been oblivious to what the forces of evil were plotting against us? And God spared us, and we didn't have a clue. We are God's children. We belong to him. And whilst we're called to testify in a fallen world, we are under divine protection from the Almighty himself. And as long as God says so, no one can touch us. Not even the Prince of Darkness. And that's brilliant news, isn't it? God himself protects us. Isn't that good to know? Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, Jesus prays to the Father, I have sent them into the world. As God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus is sending us into the world. How does God send Jesus into the world? Why? What reason? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. As God sent Jesus, Jesus sends us to save the world. Not that we're the Messiah or anything, but we have the message of eternal life and the love of God in our hearts. We have to go and tell the world this great message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Do you ever have those moments where you just stop and wonder what it's all for? Maybe your life seems a bit aimless or pointless, boring, dull. You feel a bit directionless. Well, here's the thing with that. You have been called out of the world by God. You have been given to Jesus Christ. You are being sanctified, called out as his, by his word, and you have been sent and commissioned by Jesus Christ to testify to him of that salvation, by which people can be saved forever and ever and ever, to anyone who will come. Now that's not aimless at all. We're surely to examine our lives, each of us, our efforts, our endeavours, our activities, our pursuits, our plans, and see how they fall into line with our overarching purpose, that noble mandate for heaven. We're called to be ambassadors for heaven. I wonder if you do that yourself. Consider your life. Consider the things you spend your time doing. Would you consider changing some of your plans, some of your routines? Would you give up some things that are superfluous to God's call on your life? And make some efforts to get with the program in a greater way. And that's really my prayer, that God would help us here today to embrace this. See what Jesus says in verse 19. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus was set apart for his mission to save us. And he set his face like flint. This is the night before the cross, to go there for us. And here he is praying the night before the sacrificial death that we too would be sanctified, set apart for him. He was set apart for us so that we might be set apart for him. Let's draw these things together and invite you in your heart by faith to repent of half-heartedness. Let's repent of those half-hearted, selfish things, our lukewarmness, our apathy, our worldliness. Let us not be conformed to the world. Let's take the L out of world and be conformed to the Word and live for him. The line from the film Braveheart: all men die, not all men truly live. Everyone dies, but who's really lived before they die? Only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. As the Father sent the Son, so the Son has sent us. Are you ready? Let's seek to really live this life for the glory of Christ. To give up with the wood and the hay and the straw, and to start with the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Let us pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for praying for us, both back in the time of the your incarnation here as recorded in John 17, but also, Lord, as you intercede for us ceaselessly before the throne in heaven. Thank you for your prayers for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus for us to become that sacrifice. Please awaken our sleepy souls. Let the truth of your word penetrate and sanctify our hearts and our lives. Set us apart, we pray, to serve in your vineyard. Open our hearts to pray in line with your will. Open our minds and our eyes to see clearly, to seize opportunities as you give them to us, to glorify you here on earth. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the highways, in the hedges, wherever you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing from the hymn that's printed on the back of your service bulletin. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. This is a prayer, this song, that we can pray as we sing it together. Do stand and we'll sing it together now. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God bless us all. Amen.